I've been thinking about this lesson quite a bit, and I'm thinking many of you, if not all of us, are really going to be able to relate with this one. Here we are, you and I, sitting in God's waiting room again. He didn't answer our petition with a yes, no, perhaps, or maybe. But he said, wait here. So here we are, you and I, sitting in God's waiting room, and yet another holding pattern. Are you able to relate just yet? This was the words of a card that was sent to a couple who the husband had just lost his job, and they had to move in with the wife's parents for a while until they could figure out what they were going to do. But some friends of theirs, knowing their situation and knowing how hard it is to wait, wanted to send these words of comfort to them, hopefully encourage them. And they had written alongside these words, "We wait with you," along with this verse, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And in this couple, in writing about this card and their time of waiting, it said that these words really were helpful and encouraging to them. And they began to realize more and more that we're not alone in God's waiting room. And if you're in God's waiting room in one way or another tonight, I hope that you'll realize you're not alone. You're not alone. Because as I've been thinking about our church family and different things that different ones of us are waiting on, I think there are quite a few of us in God's waiting room. And my prayer is that what we'll share tonight will be helpful to you. The fact is, there are different types of waiting. There's physical waiting. We know of folks who are faced with a terminal illness, and they're waiting and praying fervently for that their cancer will go away, that their illness, that some cure will be found. There are those who are undergoing treatments who must wait and see if the treatments will be effective. And we're praying that they will be, and those that we know and love. We know of still others that deal with constant pain, who are waiting for release from that pain. And they've been battling it, and so far they haven't been able to find something. They've tried different things that'll help, but they're still waiting for that release. There are those who've been injured or have required surgery, and they must wait to resume their normal activities. And they're finding it difficult to wait, anxious to be able to be back on their feet and doing the things that they want to be able to do. But here's a tough truth about physical waiting. Physical waiting cannot be rushed. As badly as we want to rush the progress, physical waiting cannot be rushed. If we find ourselves in God's waiting room in this aspect, we must remember that God is aware of our needs and that He is a compassionate God. I think it's also helpful for us to remember that we have a Savior who also suffered even physically and is able to identify with us. Hebrews 2:17 says, "Therefore in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted." Jesus knows about our situation. He felt even physical pain. He knows what that means. And this scripture teaches us that He had to be made like us so that He might be that merciful and faithful high priest, that go-between. But He's able to identify with us as our great high priest and provide that aid that we need. Isaiah 30 verse 18 also reminds us that the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for Him. If you're in God's waiting room for a physical situation, physical waiting, please know that God knows and He will provide help. But then there's another type of waiting. There's emotional waiting. And emotional waiting can be often more difficult than physical waiting. Sometimes the emotional waiting comes with the physical waiting. Sometimes they're totally separate. But it's often much more difficult. Often we wait alone. We're afraid to express our hurting emotions to others. And so we feel really alone in our waiting. And that makes it worse. I like these comments that one writer made. Christians may find it difficult to help those who are waiting emotionally simply because they're not aware of how they can help. They want to help, but they're afraid they'll say the wrong thing. So they do nothing. And I know there are many times when we want to help someone and we don't know what to say, and so we don't say anything. But the truth is, we may not have to say anything at all. Sometimes for those who are waiting, emotionally waiting, sometimes just our presence means everything. Emotional waiting includes those who are grieving over the death of a loved one. They wait and wonder if the emptiness and grief will ever subside. And different people grieve differently for different periods of time. There's no set time that you can allow for grieving. For some, it's shorter than others, but for others, it is a very long time that they really grieve and they wonder, will I ever stop grieving? They're in the emotional waiting room. Emotional waiting includes those experiencing marital problems or problems with other family members. Could be parents and children or siblings or any number of relationships. And because we're with our families or we have contact with them regularly, it's an ever-present issue. And so we wonder, is it ever going to get better? Is it ever going to get better? Emotional waiting also involves those who have been through a divorce. They're waiting for the hurt to heal. Also trying to adjust to being single again, or perhaps even being a single parent. Sometimes there's the hurt of betrayal. Sometimes there's the hurt of guilt. But there's an emotional waiting involved. Emotional waiting involves the lonely. That may include or does include our shut-ins. It may include newcomers, the widows, the singles, those who find it difficult to make friends. They're waiting for a phone call. They're waiting for a letter. They're waiting for someone to reach out to them, to befriend them. There's emotional waiting. There's unemployment, financial stress in today's economy that's causing many to be in this waiting room. And people in these situations feel embarrassed. They're reluctant to share their emotions for fear others will judge them harshly. But they're waiting. And what makes emotional waiting perhaps even more difficult than physical waiting is that there's no set timetable for emotional healing. So each person must face each new day as a Christian must strive to do and say with the psalmist, I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. It's choosing to wait in faith on God each and every day. There's also spiritual waiting. Spiritual waiting. Perhaps you've studied the scriptures with someone about what to do to become a child of God, and they've not yet obeyed the gospel. And it may be a spouse, your child, a parent, or a very special friend. And you desire nothing more than for that person to become a Christian, but they just haven't made that decision yet. I think of of Christian wives who have prayed and prayed and prayed for their husbands to become Christians. Talking with one not too long ago about how often should we pray for something. And I think there are some things that we should not feel like we have to pray over and over about something. Let me give you an example. This is a terrible example, but I think it'll make the point. There was this woman who made the claim to her preacher that Jesus had appeared to her. Well, the preacher was kind of skeptical of this, and so he said, okay, next time it happens, you ask Jesus about this sin that I committed as a teenager, and you come back and tell me what he says. And the preacher's thinking, okay, that'll be a sure test to know whether or not Jesus appeared to her. And a few days passed, and they saw one another again, and the preacher asked, well, did Jesus appear to you again? And she said, well, yes. And well, did you ask him what my sin was as a teenager? She said, I sure did. And Jesus responded, I don't remember. Well, do I think that Jesus appeared to this woman? No. But I think that's a wonderful answer. Because when we have come to Christ and been baptized into Christ, all of our sins are washed away. Then when we as children of God stumble and fall, but repent and confess and ask God to forgive us, He forgives us. And He will not bring those back up anymore. So should we continue to pray for a sin that we've already done those things that we know scripturally He has forgiven us? Do we keep asking Him to forgive us? No. We may need to pray to ask Him to help us to forgive ourselves. But yet there are other things that I think it's appropriate to continue to pray. How long should a Christian woman pray that her husband become obedient to the gospel? And the answer is when he obeys the gospel. You continue to pray and pray and pray. And perhaps some of you have prayed like that. And you're that spiritual waiting room, waiting for your loved one, waiting for your friend to obey the gospel. Or you may be like the father of the prodigal son. You're waiting for a loved one to come back to the Lord and to His church. And it hurts you when you think about that loved one and you see that they're away from God and in sin, and you ache for that person, and you long for that person to come back home to God and to the church. But you realize you can't make that decision for them. That they're the ones, as the prodigal son did after he ended up in the pig pen, he came to himself. He recognized how much better even his father's servants had, and he humbled himself and went back. And you may be in that spiritual waiting room waiting for that loved one to come back to the Lord. Spiritual waiting can also be a personal struggle as we are seeking to grow in the Lord. Growing is a process. Growing can be a painful process. And it may put us in a spiritual waiting room. It takes time to deal with the sins in our lives and to develop the characteristics that God wants His children to have. Scott Hardy shared this quote with me. He may not have thought I was listening, but I was. And so I looked it up. It's a quote by Helen Keller, a person that I've always greatly admired. She said, "Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved." And thinking about the one who made that statement, you realize the impact of it. But I suggest to you that those same things can be said of our faith, of our spiritual growth. Only through experience of trial and suffering can our faith be strengthened. Can we grow spiritually? A faith that has not been tested is an untested faith. And it's an untested faith is not going to be strong. So James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Our faith being tested is what brings about that quality of endurance and perseverance in our lives. And then we're to let that have its perfect work, that perseverance. And that is, its perfect work is helping us to grow to maturity. That sounds wonderful. But it's difficult when you're facing the trials. And it puts us in that waiting room. We're waiting to gain that endurance, that perseverance. And we find it hard to develop to the point of that spiritual maturity that God wants to see in us. As far as spiritual waiting, ultimately, all of us are waiting for Christ's return. That's a spiritual waiting. Philippians chapter 3. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. I want to highlight a word there. Eagerly. We also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Picture with me, and you can probably put an actual face with this. Picture an elderly saint who is struggling with health issues. And their bones are fragile. There's so many things that seem to happen over and over as far as their health. And when this passage speaks about transforming our lowly body so to be conformed to His glorious body, don't you think that would appeal to an elderly Christian who is struggling with their health? And how that waiting for the Savior becomes an eager waiting because they can't wait. They can't wait to be given that new spiritual eternal body. We long for that home in heaven where we can live with God eternally. We wait for a time when there are no more tears or pain or death or sorrow. But that's a spiritual waiting. And there are other types, just in case I miss some. But while you wait, since so many of us are waiting, consider these things while you wait. Remember, you're not alone. You're not in God's waiting room alone. Many can say, we're waiting too. It may be waiting for something a little bit different, but all of us know what it means to be waiting. And it's helpful for us to remember, we're not alone in waiting. And there are those that love us and care for us, and may we be the ones to say to others who are waiting, we wait with you. We wait with you. We're praying for you. We're longing for that day when things improve for you. And until that happens, we're going to agonize in prayer right along with you. We are going to wait with you. Realize you're not alone. Secondly, realize that God is at work. Whether we see Him or see what He's doing or not, God is at work. One writer said, God does hear your prayers. When God does not immediately respond to the cries of His children, or you might say, when He doesn't respond in the way we think He should, it is because He wants to accomplish some gracious purpose in their lives. Think about that. Think of it in light of Paul's statement when he wrote to Christians in Philippi that he was confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is at work. We may not always understand what's going on. We're not meant to understand everything that happens. But we must have enough faith to accept that God knows what is best and that He is working for our ultimate good. But I want to suggest one more thing to remember. Remember God's trees. It's a parable I want to share with you. Far away on a hillside grew a forest of trees. The trees were very happy with life just as it was. But sometimes they spoke of the future, of things they would like to do and be when they grew up. In this forest, there was a mother tree and her three little trees. One tree said, "I should like to be a baby's cradle. I think a baby is the sweetest thing I've ever seen, and I should like to be made into a baby's bed." A second tree spoke, "That would not please me at all. I want to be something important. I should like to be a great ship, strong and stately. I should like to cross many waters and carry cargoes of gold." A third little tree stood off by himself and didn't speak. "What would you like to be?" asked Mother Tree. "Have you no dreams for the future?" "No dream," he answered, "except to stand on this hillside and point men to God. What could a tree do better than that?" Years passed, and the little trees grew tall and beautiful. One day, men came to the forest and cut down the first tree. "I wonder whether I shall be made into a baby's cradle now," he thought. But the little tree was not made into a cradle. Instead, it was hewn into rough pieces and carelessly put together to form a manger in a stable in Bethlehem. He was heartbroken. "This is not what I planned," he wailed, "to have cattle eating out of me." But God, who loves little trees, whispered to him, "Wait, I will show you something." And he did. For on a cold, still night, Mary and Joseph came to that stable, and there she gave birth to the Son of God, Jesus, and laid him in that manger. "This is wonderful," whispered the tree. "In all my dreams, I never thought to hold a baby like this. This is better than all my planning. I'm part of a miracle." Months passed, and men came again to the forest to cut down the second tree. "I wonder whether I should be made into a great vessel now and do great things," he thought. But instead, he became a tiny fishing boat owned by a simple Galilean fisherman by the name of Peter. The little boat was most unhappy. "To think that my life has come to this, just a smelly fishing boat, and Peter, not a very good fisherman." But God, who loves little trees, said to him, "Wait, I will show you something." And he did. One day from out of the crowd came a person named Jesus. He sat in the boat and taught the crowd beautiful words of wisdom. Then he told Peter to launch out into the deep and let his nets down. There were so many fish that the net broke. The little boat trembled, not so much from the weight of the fish as with the weight of wonder in his heart. "In all my dreams, I never thought to carry a cargo like this. Why, I'm a part of a miracle. This is better than my planning." Weeks went by, and one day men came to the forest to cut down the third tree. The one who wanted to just stand on a hill and point men to God. He was most unhappy as the axe cut into his bark. "I don't want to go into the valley," he cried. "Why couldn't men leave me alone?" The men tore away the branches and cut deeper into his very heart. They hewed it apart and then put it together in the form of a crude cross. "This is terrible. They're going to kill someone on me. I never wanted this to happen. I only wanted to point men to God," he wailed. But God, who loves little trees, said to him, "Wait, I will show you something." And he did. A few days later, a great multitude gathered outside Jerusalem. In their midst was Jesus carrying that cross. When they came to the place called Calvary, they nailed him to that cross and crucified him. The cross shuddered beneath the weight of agony and shame, but then a miracle happened. The little tree that had become a cross remembered the echo of a past promise from heaven. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The tree began to understand. This is wonderful, he thought. I'm part of a miracle. In all my dreams, I never thought to point men to God in this way. This is better than all my planning. And so it was. For hundreds of trees stood on the hill slopes through the years, but none of them has reconciled men to God. While you wait, remember God's trees. Remember how they made their plans, but they didn't work out like they had planned. But instead, God used them in a glorious way that far exceeded their expectations. And He'll do the same in our lives. We may not understand what's when we're going through the process. But if we'll continue to trust Him and believe that He's working things out for our good and His glory, then one day we'll be able to look back and say, this is far better than my plans. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. If you're waiting, I hope that you'll be able to look back and see God's hand at work, and that He will work things out to your good and for His glory. If you've been waiting for the right opportunity to obey the gospel, having studied and realized that Jesus loves us and that He died for us so that our sins can be washed away, you recognize that in being baptized into Christ, not only will your sins be washed away, but that you're making a commitment to serve Him for the rest of your days. If you've been waiting to make those steps to obey the gospel, I hope that you won't wait anymore. If you've been one of those that we mentioned, the prodigals that have wandered away and need to come back home, I hope that you won't wait any longer, but that you'll come acknowledging that and allow the church to pray with you and for you. But whatever you're waiting for, if you're in God's waiting room, please remember you're not alone. Please remember that you're loved by God and by your fellow Christians. And let's be sensitive to the others of us who are waiting and seek to find ways that we can help. If nothing else, by praying for them and by letting them know, we wait with you. If you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come right now as we stand and sing.